The Buddha teaches five ways to overcome unwholesome thought or negative emotion like fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, selfishness, emotional negativity, etc. Even your insecurity, your whatever unhappiness. The first way is very simple. The first two way is still thought based, but it's also very useful for beginner, for people who are new to meditation, to the Buddhist teaching. You need to try them out. The Buddha said, think. See, it involves the thinking. That's why it's still thought based. Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. For example, if there is anger or aversion or dislike, then develop loving kindness or metta. And if there is cruelty, then develop compassion. If there is fear, develop faith. So these are very useful, what they call skillful means. Think of the direct opposite mind state. When you are radiating metta, you cannot be angry. When you chant the Buddha's name, or the nine great virtue of the Buddha, or when you chant Buddha, 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 or Samarahang, Samarahang, or Namo Sakyamuni Buddha, Namo Sakyamuni, or Namo Buddhaya, your mind become calm. Or some who have affinity, Kuan Yin, Om Memi Temi Hum, Om Memi Temi Hum, or Amitofo, Amitofo, Amitofo. The other one is Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. So you can chant any of this. Then it will bring forth faith. When there is faith, there is no fear. There is no worry. There is no more anxiety. So all these are skillful means to help you overcome negativity of mind state or unwholesome thought or wrong thought. So first one, think of the direct opposite. But this one, to me, is of not much use. Every time you have problem, you have to silence your mind, go somewhere and read it, metta, or go and develop the right thought. So not practical, not practical, because life is not like that. Then the Buddha said, if the first way does not help you, then you can go to the second way, which is deeper in understanding and more effective. The Buddha said, if the first way doesn't suit you or doesn't really benefit you or is not a complete, total solution, then you go to the second way. The Buddha said, think, of the consequence of holding on to this wrong thought or unwholesome thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. If you do not abandon these evil roots or wrong thought, then the evil roots, which are the root of all evil, will condition you to become an evil person. For example, anger can condition you into hatred and you become violent. And an angry person, a violent person, can kill and cause harm to fellow living beings or abuse others, thereby breaking the first precept. Is that what you want? Your karmic downfall. If that is not what you want, determine not to arise the anger. Determine to abandon it. Because the consequence of holding on to it will actually wake you up. Your life, you hold the key to your own life destiny. To be peaceful, happy or unhappy is entirely your choice. So avoid Dhammapada verse 1, follow Dhammapada verse 2. So in order to avoid Dhammapada verse 1, you must determine to abandon that unwholesome thought. So that is the second way. Yeah. And how to do it is very important. The third way and the fourth way is the most effective. The third way is the meditative way. Yeah. This one is very simple, but very few Buddhists know how to do this. That's why all their meditation go haywire. Where they don't understand step three, the third way. The Buddha said the third way is the meditative way. It's very easy. The Buddha said just relax and maintain awareness. We are just letting things be. This is the meditative way, born of understanding that the natural state of mind before the stirring is already the meditative way, or the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and silent inner awareness. And the very flowering of that thought is the very ending of that thought or emotion. Let's say you have anger, hatred, or fear, or deep resentment, or sorrow and lamentation. The next time if it happens, try this, the third way. Don't do anything. Don't go and reason. Don't go and suppress. Don't go and focus or concentrate or try to stop that thought. Don't go and practice letting go. All those things will not work. You just silence your mind. Don't do anything. Be with it. Awareness. Be with it. Silent. Then see what happens. Like Jay Krishnamurti say, the very flowering of that emotion is the very ending of that emotion. May it be anger, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, or lamentation. All this will go. Even insecurity, scars of memory, phobia, everything will go. You just silence your mind. Just maintain awareness. When you are in the state of sati, awareness, there is no thought, no word, no label. Then there is peace. How can fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lament stay there? You know, these are dependent originating state, condition arising mind state. They are not inherent in your true nature. They arise because of ignorance. When you stir your mind, when you react to wrong view, that's why they are called wrong thought, wrong emotion. And because they are not intrinsic, they are dependent originating. You just silence your mind, maintain awareness, even cease to be. When conditions cease to be, you no longer giving it the wrong thought, the sakayaditi, the wrong thinking. The mind will not stir, even cease. And the Buddha gave a very good analogy during his time to Ananda. He asked him to collect water for him to drink. So Ananda went there in the first watch. Yeah. I think that time there's still block up moving around. So the water was muddy, not suitable for drinking. So he came back and told the Buddha, the water was muddy, not suitable for drinking. The Buddha said, okay. Later, 1 or 2 hours time, go again. Again, Ananda went. Again, the water was not suitable. Then the third time, the Buddha asked him to go middle of the night. Ananda went. At this time, no more blocker to stir the pool of water. Then he realized the water is clear, suitable for drinking. That's why he collected the water and went back to offer to the Buddha. And happily, he related the Buddha. He said, yeah, now the water is suitable for drinking. Then he asked Ananda, what do you learn from this? He said, your mind is like that pool of clear water. If you don't churn it or stir it like the block up, it is clear, right? There is clarity, right? And how did you churn it, stir it? Well, you go and think the wrong thought, understand? That's why you become emotional. The anger, the hatred, the fear, the negative emotion. This is how you churn through sankhara activity and thinking. Then that mind become defiled. The evil root went in. Because originally, before the stirring, before the mundane mind arise through wrong view, wrong thought, it was tranquil, still, like the pool of clear water. Everything settled down, clarity. Means if you don't churn it, don't stir it like the blockade, then all this settlement cannot arise. And that is what meditation is all about. That's why you just relax away. Let the mind return to its original state before stirring, before you get angry, before your self-delusion stirs into the various emotion, unwholesome mind state, negativity of mind state. And this is what meditation is all about. So it's so simple. Don't do anything. That's why I say just relax and wait. Don't try to know, don't try to reason, don't try to do anything. And you will experience that tranquility, that stillness, the silent mind, without those emotions, the fear, the anger, the hatred, everything ceases. Even the pain also ceases. Do it. If you don't do it, you can never understand. That's the reason why I always say, a lot of Buddhists don't understand what is meditation. They thought meditation is focusing, concentration, fix the mind. Or no, this, not that, do this, do that, method, technique. Nothing to do with all this. The Buddha says just relax, maintain awareness. Just aware. Yes. There it is. Then observe without the observer. Without reaction, without suppression, without control. Don't try to do anything. Observe. See the flowering of thought that lead to the very ending of thought. Flowering means let it move. You don't add in any more wrong thought, negative mental energy. Then what happened? That limited energy that stir the mind to anger or fear, it will dissipate. As it dissipate, it will cease. Like the flower. When it decay, means it flower until it cannot flower already. Then it will decay. That's why flower is a very good example. The transient nature, ephemeral nature of flower. When it fully flower, it cannot flower anymore. It cannot proliferate anymore, the thought process. That's why when you just aware, no more thought energy, no more thinking, then the mind will return to its original state. Well, when this sankhara activity energy is dissipated, the original mind before the stirring or reaction of mind will return, because your true mind is already that beautiful meditative mind. That's why silent, relax, aware, maintain that silent inner awareness to realize your true mind before the stirring. That was your true mind, your true nature. See that, realize that, and that is meditation. Okay, so the third way, I hope by now is clear to you. That's why I spend more time on it, so that you all can develop the understanding. Then I will go to the fourth way. The fourth way is a complementary way. The Buddha said, after you have developed the third way, you will develop certain form of wisdom. Means you know, anger is not you. The negative emotion is not you. The fear, the worry, the anxiety. All these are sankhara activity, mind state that arise through mental conditioning, through your views, opinion, and mental stirring, where you lack wisdom, you lack equanimity of mind, you lack spiritual faculties. So the Buddha said, the third way is a meditative way. Then whatever negativity of mind state, you just relax, aware, silent, then it will cease. When it ceases, you will realize your true mind. Then you have clarity. Then you are mindful, you are heedful, you are aware. You can see things as they are, you can meditate. That is the meditative mind. That's why the third way will abandon all this thought. But the problem is, it will not root out completely your ignorance. It gives you some form of understanding. Then you can relate back. Sankara anicchang, like the Buddha said, oh, sankara, my state. Especially the wrong thought, emotional negativity. They are all mind state, dependent originating, condition arising. So the third way will allow you to see that and understand that. Yeah. But that wisdom is not penetrative. That wisdom is just the beginning because you have not reflected into it. You have not insight into phenomena. You have not awakened to the three universal characteristics. So every time when you live life in the midst of your daily life through your sixth sense door, you again will stir your mind. Then every time there is anger, hatred, fear, insecurity, what you do? You go and silence your mind again to develop the meditation. Then to experience that cessation again. Then go back to normal again. It is useful, very helpful, but it has not developed the full wisdom, penetrative wisdom, to completely root it out. That's why the Buddha say, you continue with the fourth way. The fourth way will give you the wisdom to root it out. So the fourth way, the Buddha say, trace the origination factor of the unwholesome thought. And then retrospectively reverse it. We are cultivating the mindfulness of Dhamma. Means under Dhamma Nupassana, you have five categories of practices. The first category is mindfulness of the five mental hindrance. Then second category is mindfulness of the five aggregates of form and mind. Yeah. This one you have to go through. But the third category is what the fourth way is all about. Mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases. The external sense bases are the sense data. The internal sense bases are your five physical senses and your brain, the sixth sense. So to trace the origination factor, let us take for example, anger or fear. You have to ask yourself, how does anger arise? How does fear arise? Anger and fear and selfishness, they are mental hindrances, isn't it? They are wrong thought, isn't it? Evil roots, isn't it? So you ask yourself, is anger really me? If anger is not me, then when did anger arise? Before I get angry, there was no anger. So I have to trace how did anger come to be. Like in the Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundation of mindfulness, the first category of cultivation, Dhamma Nupassana. The first category of Dhamma is the five mental hindrance, mindfulness of the five mental hindrance. The Buddha said, if you silence your mind in the daily mindfulness through Sati Sampajana, you will see how your mind stir and how you get angry or how fear arises, insecurity arises. So all these negative mind state, you can see them. And they always arise through your senses. That's why you have to be mindful of your six internal sense bases and six external sense bases. Then the Buddha said, you will realize it's either after you hear something or see something or recall something that condition your anger or your fear. So through the senses, it arises. Means what? Fear is dependent originating. Condition arising through wrong thought. Your mind stir and react to sense experience. That is how you arises this wrong thought. May it be fear, anger, or hatred, or selfishness, or envy and jealousy, or lust, craving, covetousness. So all these are wrong thought, mental hindrance. So the Buddha said, if you are mindful, you can trace the origination factor, then you will know how anger come to be. That's why in the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha said, you will come to know how the unarisen mental hindrance of sensual desire and ill will or anger or hatred or fear come to be. Means you see them through the senses, how it arises. Then how do you retrospectively reverse it? Well, you know how it arises, you know how to reverse it, isn't it? Because you act according to memory. Your views, opinion, and conditioning, which is still wrong view because you are not enlightened yet. You don't have equanimity. You don't have initial wisdom. You don't have understanding. That's why your mind stirs. You react, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. Or if something that you are not sure, doubt, then there is doubt. There is fear. There is insecurity. So all these are negativity of mind state. So after you have traced its origination factor, now you go back and tell yourself, I must develop the right view so that I can straighten my view that in future I will not stir, I will not react, I will be at peace. How can I do it? Why did I get angry? And then you recall through memory, recollect. It's because memory, through conditioning, and whatever you have accumulated inside your memory, your scars of memory, all that. The moment you see that person, that old memory trigger off fear, worry, anxiety, or anger, or dislike. Because you already accumulated that type of thought process, which is wrong thought. And you keep it. These are what Krishnamurti called psychological memory. So if you hold on to psychological memory, it can create wrong thought. And wrong thought are thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, your evils. And it will bring about karmic negativity. So how to reverse all this? Means I have to straighten my view. I have to ask myself, what did the Buddha actually in his teaching taught us? What must we do? We must learn to see things as they are. Jnana dasana. Direct knowledge and vision of the reality. See things as they are. Not as what your memory or your views, opinion, and conditioning tell you. Means see truth. See reality. Then I start to develop the understanding, like the Buddha said. When conditioned like that, things will be like that. Whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. And that causes and condition, he has taught us the Panchaniyama. Mainly is the law of karma, law of mind, law of dhamma. So when I understand condition is like that, things will be like that, then I can accept the world for what it is. When condition already established, at this moment, condition will flow this way. Because condition behind is already set. Things will be the way it is, like COVID-19. It will unfold because the collective consciousness has moved that direction. Then whatever that has happened, it will condition the present situation. That's why I learn to accept things as they are. Learn to see what is the reality of the moment. Because people are just the way they are. Angry people say angry things. Selfish people say selfish things. Deluded people do deluded things. They are just the way they are. I don't have to argue with them whether they are right or wrong. I accept them for what they are. It doesn't mean I agree with what they do. No. I accept them for what they are. Yeah, they are just the way they are. Greedy people do greedy things. Selfish people do selfish things. Deluded people do deluded things. And I am at peace. That is most important. And the world is the world. Whatever that happened, condition already said it has to be like that. So I accept first, like car accident. Happened already. Accept. Or somebody falls sick, or accident, or whatever. Accept. Then, attend to it. So this is how you straighten your view. So when you straighten your view, the next time you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactile feel something, or recall to memory something. You no longer react like before. Yeah, this straightening of view will help you. Then the first and second turning wisdom, yoniso manasikara, also will help you. Yeah. Then the third turning also will help you. Yeah. When you are able to have the silent mind to do the inquiry, reflection, contemplation, then when you constantly listen to Dhamma, you straighten your view. This is how you develop the understanding, like my sharing. After you hear, you straighten your view through reflection, contemplation, then you come to understand, yeah, things is just the way they are. Why must I become fearful? Why must I still become angry and unhappy? Why must I still wanting my way? If I cannot get what I want, I suffer. See that clearly, understand that clearly. Then develop the silent mind, training to be heedful. Stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then through heedfulness, you will insight into phenomena. You will awaken. You will realize the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Then that penetrating wisdom will liberate your mind. Then with that wisdom, your view will always be straightened. You will no longer go back to the old way. That's why with the fourth way, you can retrospectively reverse it through wisdom, through understanding. And that is a permanent solution, permanent fix. Once you master the third and the fourth way, you are near to enlightenment already. Sometimes that itself, the fourth way, can give you the wisdom to awaken and become enlightened. So the third way and the fourth way is the meditative, are the two meditative ways. And learn these two ways. They are the most important. The fifth way to me is not important. This is for mundane people. The Buddha said, if all the above four ways that he has taught you, especially the third and the fourth way, you have to do it yourself, is it? Then you must use your own self-determination as recommended by the Buddha. He said, with clenched teeth and with your tongue towards your palate, you should determine strongly to abandon the wrong thought, because he cannot help you anymore. After giving you all the four beautiful ways you still cannot do, then you doubt him yourself. That is what he means. So the fifth way to me is not relevant for cultivator. It's mainly for non-cultivator, for lay people. So this five way, I hope by now you have developed the understanding. Okay, we finish lesson six. So we still have time. We can go into lesson seven. Before I go into lesson seven, the same five ways to overcome unwholesome thought is also on appendix 6. Appendix 6 is, okay, page 247. So 247, 6.6. There are five ways to overcome unwholesome thought or negativity of mind state. So here I make it clearer for you. The Buddha taught five ways to overcome unwholesome thought or negativity of mind state or emotion, like your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, or your envy, your jealousy, and all those things. The first two ways I put that thought base. This one I explained. Then how to apply the right effort. I also explained that. I say you have to think. The first way is to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought, which we have gone through, to abandon the unwholesome thought. So what can you do? You can use the third right effort to arise the unarisen wholesome thought. That's how you cultivate. The first right effort is to abandon the unwholesome thought that has arisen. That is the first one. After it has arisen, because you are not mindful enough, your initial wisdom is not there, you cannot stop it. So it has arisen. Then you use the five ways that the Buddha teach you to abandon them. Okay? The first way is to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. That is the third right effort. The third right effort is to cultivate the right thought that is still not in you. Okay? So the opposite direct wholesome thought are the right thought that are still not in you. Ah, arise them, cultivate them. Like you don't have metta to counter anger or hatred, then you develop metta. You don't have compassion to counter cruelty, then develop compassion. Then you don't have sympathetic joy, yeah, to overcome envy and jealousy, then cultivate sympathetic joy, mudita. When you can rejoice in the success of others, in the goodness of others, you will not be envy. You will not have envy. You will not have jealousy. So all this you can cultivate through the third right effort. Whatever wholesome thought, wholesome action, and wholesome speech that you have not developed, you can arise the right effort to develop them, to cultivate them. Then the fourth right effort to refine upon this right thought means to perfect it. So when you refine upon them, you can perfect them. So all these are the skillful means, which means under Rima, you are trying to develop right thought, wholesome thought, right action, and right speech. You are starting to cultivate noble eightfold path. Okay, the initial path factor, right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. Then the second way is to reflect and contemplate upon the danger of the danger and the grave consequence of holding on to this unwholesome thought, which has the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion that can bring about karmic negativity. Then arise the right effort to abandon them. So this one is the first right effort, to abandon the unwholesome thought through the five ways that the Buddha has taught you. Then the second right effort, you need initial wisdom. When you have developed yoniso manasikara, then you can prevent the wrong thought from arising, the unwholesome thought from arising. Otherwise, you can't. When you are mindful, when you are aware, the yoniso manasikara, initial wisdom, will prompt you straight away. Then it cannot arise. It's just, like those who went through the cultivation, they don't know. And some who has gone through depression, they also know. All the wrong thoughts, they are so familiar with them. Because when they were attacked by all these wrong thoughts, they land themselves into depression and all those things. They didn't understand initially. But later on, when they came out of it through an understanding, after I have taught them, then they know. Especially those who have gone through that depression, like last night, Alicia and a few others, they told me, Matthew, the next time this wrong thought arises, straight away they know, I have seen you. And now, you have tormented me for long enough. The moment you say enough, it ceases. Because the wisdom is there. These are wrong thoughts. It will condition your coming negativity. If that is not what you want, abandon it. Straight away, it cannot arise. You don't want to have anything to do with it anymore. It will bring about coming negativity. So you are more interested in promoting all the right thought, following the advice of the Buddha. That's why you keep your precept. You cultivate mindfulness, heedfulness, to actually purify your mind. So all the four right effort you will cultivate. Then the next one, the third way I already explained, but here in more detail. Third way, just silence your mind to train the mind by deconditioning it from the heedless thinking and grasping at sense experience. Means you just silence your mind, don't do anything. Then there is a skillful means, mind sweeping method, which I have taught. You can try it out if you want to. Then by just being silent and aware without any thought, the mind will settle down on its own and return to its original state of inner peace, inner awareness, and inner silence and stillness and tranquility. So all this is the same as what I have explained just now. Then the explanation part, the second column. The moment you are silent, you will come to know that all this emotion or emotional negativity or wrong thought, all these evil roots and mental hindrance, they are merely conditioned arising mind state and they are never you. That is, anger is not you. fear is not you. Worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, they are not you. They are dependent on originating. The understanding and acceptance of the reality of all conditioned arising sensation and emotion at the moment of sense experience without any reaction or stirring of mind can lead to profound wisdom. That's how you purify your mind. Then the fourth way, of course, is like what I explained just now, to trace the origination factor and retrospectively reverse it via wisdom, the wisdom way to free the mind. That is just using the silent mind to trace the origination factor of the negative thought or negative mind state, and then reverse it retrospectively via straightening one's view. All this I have explained. Train the cultivator to develop the true understanding via mindfulness of the six internal and six external sense bases, Dhamma Nupassana practices, the third category and the first category, to arise the third turning wisdom, Bhavana Maya Panya. Then, first part is to trace the origination factor. So here, again, I explain what I explained just now. Mindfulness of the five mental hindrances. See how they arise, usually through the three major senses, like say, the seeing consciousness, the hearing, or the thought consciousness. Then retrospectively reverse it via wisdom to understand how the arisen mental hindrance ceases to be by just being aware. Then to counter the mental hindrance, we are cultivating the five spiritual faculty of Sadha, Virya, Siddhi, Samadhi, and Panya, cultivated to straighten one's view. Then mindfulness of the five mental aggregates of form and mind. This is under Dhamma Nupassana, when you want to trace the origination factor. See how the five mental aggregates come to be. Their condition arising, hence impermanent, suffering and non-self or empty nature. See how you deludedly grasp, cling, and attach to them via self-delusion and subjectivity. So this is how you trace the origination factor. Then the last one is mindfulness of the six external and six internal sense bases. When you have understood what these five aggregates of form and mind are, and you have developed a stable sati to be aware of them, then you can trace their origination factor via mindfulness of the six internal and six external sense bases to see clearly how the external sense data upon contact with mind and their respective internal sense bases trigger of sense door consciousness and its related mental activity via the dwelling paticca-samuppada. You will see them very clearly when you are very stable in your daily mindfulness. Then see how, tuned to wrong view, your mind stir easily. When you contemplate and reflect, you will realize that if you don't do anything via right view, to see things as they are, it will naturally cease to be. That's how you awaken. Then mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment, to refer to the four foundations of mindfulness, the Satipatthana Sutta for further detail. And the last category is mindfulness of the four noble truths, to refer to the four foundations of mindfulness or Satipatthana Sutta for further detail. All these are there, the three turnings. Then reverse it retrospectively. The key here is a silent mind. Without a silent mind, you cannot do it. Silent mind can trace all the origination factor to develop the much needed wisdom, yoniso manasikara, or wise attention at the moment of sense experience, to retrospectively reverse it via wisdom. This one I have covered. And as per the Satipatthana, you will come to know how the unarisen fetters or mental hindrance come to be. Then you will come to understand how the arisen fetters or hindrance cease to be. That one follow the third way. When they arise already, you just silent. Then you assist. Then you will come to realize by not doing anything, you just allow the condition to cease. Then when conditions cease, everything cease. That's why you will come to know these are conditioned arising mind state. Anger is not you. Fear is not you. All these sankara mind state, they are not you. They arise during the condition. Then they pass away during the condition too. they arise and they pass away, they come and they go. So that's why Sankara Anicang, Sankara Dukkang, Dhamma Anatta. So all this you will understand. Then the fifth way I already explained, no need to go through. Okay, we finish.